I'm just messing with you.
All right, what's up, y'all? Welcome to Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're broadcasting live at the, what number is it, 47? What? 61.
Wow.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're broadcasting live at the 61st Annual SWADA Convention here in Houston. We're at the Westin Galleria. We're at the convention hall right outside of the Memorial Hermann booth. We're going to be talking with Scott Saylor. So Daniel Young wanted to interview him real quick. He's got a talk at 9:45, but... Scott, why don't you go ahead and tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show today. I'm from Fresno, California. I work at Fresno State, so I've been there about 25 years, but I actually grew up here in this district. I went to high school at Richardson High School in Dallas, Texas. So until I was sophomore in high school when we moved to California, that I was pretty much a native Texan, so I feel like I'm coming home when I'm back here, so it's a great opportunity. So I've worked throughout the years in a variety of positions at Fresno State and plus some other places. My first job was actually a small college outside of Nashville, Cumberland University in Lebanon, Tennessee, known for the worst loss in college football ever. It still holds the record today. And 222-0. I was not. It was 1916. But some would suspect that I might have been there the older I get. But what was interesting about that was the last game that Cumberland ever played until they hired me. And the reason they hired me was because they were bringing football back. So they wanted to have an athletic trainer and develop an athletic training program, and I took that job right out of grad school because I would have the opportunity to do both things. I wanted to develop an athletic training program and an educational program, and did that until I got an opportunity to go back to my alma mater, and I've been there 25 years now. So worked in the athletic department, worked with all the variety of sports we had there, and eventually enjoyed the time on the sideline, but I realized I was missing some time on the sideline with my own kids. So while being on the road was actually a lot of fun, I decided to take a position where I could stay at home a little bit more, and that led me into academics, and I've been doing that for the last 7-10 years, something like that. So.
Yeah, we're talking with Josh Yellen and Mark Knobloch. That's kind of the same thing as, you know, they're in education now so that they get to spend a little bit more time at home. But it's definitely, they said they missed the sidelines too. So,
what was fun, my daughters went through, they went to high school. I've got three daughters, and two have graduated from high school. They actually are attending Fresno State. But when they were in high school and involved in athletics, their athletic trainer was one of my alums. She actually was an undergrad and a grad student. So I would go and I was her assistant on the sidelines. So she'd be preparing the varsity team and I was covering the JV game or that type of thing. And it was a lot of fun to have your own former student be your supervisor, you know, that she was the boss. She was definitely the boss. So. No, yeah. Wow. The only thing we do in California, freshmen go usually on Thursday, and then JV and varsity. JV kind of leads into varsity, and then you do varsity. Yeah.
We go two freshman games or three.
Wow.
On Thursday,
yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Three freshman games. Oh, that's punishment right there. Freshman anything is punishment. Yeah.
All right, so Scott, what are you talking about today in your presentation?
Well, I'm just about to head over to speak to the students, and they really want to know about what's coming up. What are things that are going on? And that's really difficult because there's so many things that are going on. I was just mentioning just a little while ago that we've got things happening internationally. We've got you know, the Alliance has recently announced that there's that education is going to move to, or professional education will be at the master's degree level. That means as a membership association, our role would be, what do we need to be doing to help the members that are educators in a school or wanting to make a transition of some sort. You know, I think that we'll probably see a variety of educational changes over the next several years that really further establish us as unique healthcare providers in our arena. There are a lot of things we do that overlap with other healthcare professions, but there are sure a lot of things that we're the best at, and we really want to emphasize those points because we are the leaders in a variety of areas. I would say in initial care of concussion, you know, sudden cardiac death, heat-related illness, those types of things that really matter when it comes down to a kid in the first few minutes after one of those things occurs. They need somebody trained and educated, and nobody better than an athletic trainer to do that. So there's going to be a lot of exciting things.
All right, very cool, very cool. What else you got, Daniel?
I'm just kind of curious where we go in the future. I mean, you got to get closer and grow close. You mentioned China earlier, about going to the National. I know we have a lot of different emerging fields. We're talking about the Masters. But what's something else new? Maybe something
Yeah. Well, I may not know about it yet. So there are a variety. What's interesting is in the past, it's my understanding that usually we would go into essentially a presidency in the NATA with a core group of things that were objectives to work on. And I really had worked up an idea, a philosophy or a plan in regards to my own presidency. But what I've discovered in the last 6 months is that we're in a very different position now than we have been in years past. And that's that people are bringing us things that we get to decide whether we want to be a part of or not a part of, whether it furthers our mission or it doesn't. So like for example, the whole invitation to be a participant in this task force looking at emergency preparedness within the United States. Well, that was something that we could not have invited ourselves to. That took place at the White House, on the White House grounds. Those types of things. We used to have to set the table. Now we're being invited to be at the table, and that's exciting. So I think we'll see a lot of exciting things in the years ahead. Okay.
Many people have asked, and many people don't know the answer. With the change to the entry level bachelor's, how does that help the professional bachelor's training? How does that better them? The secondary school athletic work environment, hours, and pay?
Well, we're in a.
In Texas, to have a master's only gets you $1,000 more a year.
Yeah.
So your return on investment, you may never get.
Right. And there were a lot of, I know that there were a lot of different variables that were looked at, examined in the whole conversation that took place regarding this entry level, moving to the professional degree to a master's level. And there were a lot of pros and there are negatives too. And I agree with you, in California where I'm from, the education itself gives you a raise, but the degree itself as a master's degree isn't hardly worth anything. It's worth a few hundred bucks in California. But those units are actually do give our teachers a raise. It was not specific to, the decision was really not specific to salary, improved salaries or anything like that. It was really, there were a lot of factors, but I'll tell you one of the most compelling arguments or compelling bits of information that were provided, and this came from multiple sources, but they primarily was our friends in the other medical societies, American Medical Society for Sports Medicine, AOSSM. I mean, just many of these organizations had representatives that physician members to other boards like the KD board, the BOC board. And when they spoke, they really essentially put it like this. They said, we love you guys. You guys do something that's very important to what we do. You're an important component to our overall healthcare of these athletes. But the way healthcare is moving, we're afraid that if you don't move to a master's degree, that in 10 years, you're going to be relegated to a technician position. Because in our world, the world of hospitals, the world of medicine, the people that that have advanced degrees are people that are considered kind of mid-level providers. The people that don't are considered technicians, orthopedic tech or whatever. That was a really moving argument for us, that it's like it's for the betterment of the profession down the road, even in this case, they're even arguing that it's for the sustaining of the profession down the road.
Okay. So with that being said, then does the old argument come back of where are we on reimbursement?
Well, yeah, it could. And reimbursement is still something that's being worked on. We have three pilot states right now that are going through the creating a system to help us figure out how do you get to those insurance providers, those groups, and have them recognize us in that argument for reimbursement. So it's not something that we're stopping on. We're still continuing to work on reimbursement, and we want the reimbursement. Really, my feeling is we want the reimbursement for the acknowledgement that we are healthcare providers, and we should be getting this and recognize that.
It does.
Yeah.
He'd have to rent the space. He'd have to start a company. You know.
Huh.
But that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Reimbursement does legitimize us, but it's not
quality. Yeah, right. I think we've also missed some opportunities. We have some people that have taken advantage of some opportunities, but we missed some opportunities. There's also a cash paying community out there. And we've seen some other folks that have stepped into that arena, especially that functional return to activity, that, and not to pick on them, but the personal trainers and those types of things that aren't going after the insurance dollar, they're going after the cash dollar. And I think we're perfectly suited. I don't think there's anybody better than us to be in that gap right there. And we should capitalize on that.
All right, Scott. So I know you're about to have to go to give your talk and kind of get ready to get set up. Worst part about being NATA president, and then best part about being NATA president?
Worst part about being NATA president, every once in a while, you can't please everybody. But in life, you can't please everybody anyway. And sometimes, you know, you're put in a position where you're... One thing that we have an agreement of on the board is we make a decision, we all stick to it. So there's a great group of people behind me that help make decisions, and those decisions also often come through a whole bunch of other people that serve on committees and in leadership. So they're pretty well vetted before they ever get to the board. But you've got to own those things. And so that can put you in a tough spot sometimes, because not everybody agrees, and that's fine. The best part is going around to things like this and meeting great people that care about the same things that you care about, which are, you know, making sports and healthcare in the United States better because of our contribution as athletic trainers. So that's the best thing by far.
All right, very cool. Any last comments from Bubba or Daniel?
Well, I'll do the best I can. You said it's in January, and I know we start the district meeting circuit around January. EATA is sometime in January usually. But if I can, well, if I can do that, and I've done that before. In fact, I just came, I did a trip earlier. It was at, right at the end of May, and I started in San Diego. I flew to San Diego to Virginia Beach for the District 3 meeting. I went up and visited some folks along the way. I went to Boston University and saw how they do athletic training there. And went to Washington, D.C., met some of our legislators on my way to the Northern New England Athletic Trainers Meeting in Portland, Maine, and just took advantage of that whole, you know, did five meetings all in one trip. So if I can work it out, I'd love to work it out. So thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Dr. Saylor, thanks for joining us on the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Thank you.